this morning for our Pentecost Sunday. And also, if you could just take a second, we're going to be welcoming our Operation Barnabas. But could you welcome one another with a handshake of warmth and welcome? Thank you. Mike, go ahead.
Does she know to pull up the slide?
I'll have to tell her. Everyone may be seated. We're going to have a little change up. We're going to actually begin in just a moment. Kim, could you please turn to Operation Barnabas during the announcements? And it's all the way at the end.
Good morning. I'm Mike Hoffman. In 2007, LCMS recognized the fact that there was no ministry for veterans directed towards veterans and their families. And so they started a mission, a ministry called Operation Barnabas. The vision of Operation Barnabas is that every military-connected person lives in the hope and peace of God's love and mercy as revealed in the resurrection of his son Jesus Christ. So what this ministry will do is help us connect with veteran families and veterans and support them and help them out as best we can. This weekend, Armed Forces Weekend, we are kicking off our chapter here at Trinity Lutheran Church. And we ask you for your support and your prayers and considering to help make a commitment to our committee. Chris Hopkins has been the chapter commander and Florida district commander of Operation Barnabas for a while. And he is here to fill you in because he is more well-versed on this operation than I am, but he is mentoring our church to go out and reach out to veterans.
Good morning, downtown Trinity. I know you guys have more energy than the last service. So thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity to speak in front of you this morning. My name is Sergeant First Class Chris Hopkins. I'm with the United States Army. I'm attached to 1st Armored Division. In addition to that, I serve as the task force commander for Operation Barnabas for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Florida, Georgia District, and for one of your sister congregations, Woodlands Lutheran Church in Montverde, about 42 miles from here if you haven't been there. So I'm excited to be here with you this morning. I met with Mike several months ago, and he came forward with some vested interest in pursuing this ministry, this military-connected ministry. So what is Operation Barnabas? What does that mean to you? What does it mean to us? I can tell you as an active duty soldier, it means everything. As a veteran, it means everything. But more importantly, to the families of these veterans, it means more than that. So this Operation Barnabas, this is a ministry that the Synod started in 2007. Initially started to support the chaplains that were pulled out of the pulpits to go into combat. Now, then, we're thinking, okay, well, I'm going to pull you out of the pulpit. You'll be gone for probably 6 months. You know, we can endure that. No, 6 months turned into a year, year and a half, 2 years, some of those chaplains, 3 years out of the pulpit. Who's taking care of the families? So that's how this ministry started. It's now evolved itself in the last 11 years to support all military-connected veterans and families within the congregation, but most importantly, like any other ministry that you have here at Trinity or across our synod, is what happens outside of these four walls and getting connected with the community, getting connected with those veterans and their military-connected families. How many military veterans do I have here today? Thank you so much for your service. Now, how many spouses and families do I have of military-connected veterans? That should be a louder round of applause. I can tell you that from my own personal testimony. How about first responders, police, fire, EMS? Make sure you thank them when you see them, because those people are awesome. So any which way, this is a ministry that I've committed to on behalf of the district and of Woodlands, your sister congregation, to walk alongside with you as you launch this very, very important and needed ministry here in Orlando. The closest chapter to you outside of us is the Space Coast. If you want to go south, you're going to drive all the way to Naples till you get to the next Operation Barnabas chapter. So it is critical and crucial that we help you launch and help you get off the ground and help you have fun with this ministry. It is excellent. And the more you get involved, the more passionate you get about it, you'll see the fruits of your labor pay itself forward. So again, I'll be available for you. If you need to contact me, you can get my number from Mike, but I'm going to be at the next several meetings here for Trinity, and I'll be involved, and Mike's going to be involved with us. So I just want to thank you and congratulations on your starting of a chapter with Operation Barnabas.
And also something that Chris didn't mention is this isn't just veterans supporting veterans. This is our church supporting our veterans. So you don't have to be a veteran or a member of a military family to help out with this. If you want to sign up and get on a committee or help with filling care packages and other things, please feel free to do so. We can use all the help we can get. Thank you.
Thank you.
to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace in the whole world and the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray together. O God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day, by the same Spirit, to have a right understanding in all things and evermore to rejoice in his joyful consolation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, and there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon them. The flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on the slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Second reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them. And they rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound of a multitude came together, they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own tongue. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in their own tongues the mighty works of God. And they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? But others mocking said, They are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Creator Spirit, Creator Spirit, Heavenly Dove, descend upon us from above with graces manifold. Restore thy creatures as they were before.
The Holy Gospel for this Pentecost Sunday is recorded in the book of St. John, the 15th chapter and 16th chapter. Jesus said, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you will also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But I am going to him who sent me, and because I have said these things to you, you now sorrow, and it has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come unto you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world regarding sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but rather what he hears he will speak. He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Christ. Congregation may be seated. I'm going to ask the confirmands to stand for the rite of confirmation. Sacristy with the books. It's a wonderful day to see 12 young men and one woman join our confirmation classes this year and to become full confirmed members of Trinity Lutheran Church and school. We are blessed to have you. We're blessed to have your families. And we acknowledge and commemorate this day. It's a wonderful accomplishment in each of your lives. It's a milestone in your spiritual journey. But it's not, as I told you when you did your essays, graduation day. It is not. The journey is just beginning with you and Jesus. And so it's a path that you're beginning. And the promises you are making and taking are promises that are to last a lifetime. Therefore, beloved in the Lord Jesus, Christ said to his apostles, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Each of you have been baptized and catechized in the Christian teaching and faith, according to the Lord's bidding. Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess them before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace and joyfully give answers to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord and in the presence of this congregation. Do you, each of you, this day, in the presence of God and of these witnesses, acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism? If so, answer, I do. Do you renounce the devil? Do you renounce all his works? Do you renounce all his ways? Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? If so, answer in the first words of the Creed, repeating with me, yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Likewise, the second paragraph of the Apostles' Creed, do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord? Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God found in the Bible? If so, answer, I do. Do you confess the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from the Scriptures as you've learned them from the small called, or small catechism rather, to be faithful and true? If so, answer, I do. Do you intend to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? If so, I do, by the grace of God. Do you intend to continue steadfast in the confession of the church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from this faith? I do, by the grace of God. We rejoice with thankful hearts that you've been baptized and received the teaching of our Lord and our Savior Jesus, that you've now confessed publicly and absolved you are of your sins as you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his blessed sacrament of communion. He who has begun a good work into you will now bring it to completion until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated, and we're going to invite you to come up a row at a time, I believe. Ashley Michelle Yates. Her Bible verse chosen for her confirmation, as long as we love one another, God will live in us, and his love will be complete in us. 1 John chapter 4, 12. Lord, may you bless and be with Ashley all the days of her life. God's blessings. Luke, this is a big day. Your Bible passage is Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Luke 2, verse 40. May the Lord bless you, Luke, all the days of your life, and may Jesus walk with you on that path of life. In Jesus' name. Congratulations. Zane Elwin Davis. Congratulations, this is a big day. You've chosen John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God bless you, Zane. May he walk with you all the days of your life. Congratulations. Did you undo your essay since I missed it last week? Did you undo your essay now? Daniel Arnold Bierman, you have chosen the Bible passage, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. May God bless you this and grant you a long life walking in his ways. In Jesus' name, congratulations. Brennan Michael Kohler. You've chosen Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, one of my favorite verses. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Brennan, may the Lord bless you all the days of your life as you walk with him. Congratulations. Hedda Dawit, you have chosen 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. God bless you, Hedda. And congratulations. Walk with him. Samuel David Simmons. You've chosen the Bible passage, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27, verse 1. Samuel, congratulations, and may God bless you all the days of your life as you walk with him. Thank you. Thank you. Tanner Scott Reed. You've chosen the Bible passage, Matthew 21, verse 22. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. What a wonderful passage for you as you walk with Jesus throughout the days of your life. Congratulations. Stone Harris Beyer. You've chosen the Bible passage from Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And that passage can refer a lot to baptism that you underwent several years ago as a younger man. But as you pass through those waters daily, may they be renewing waters that refresh your soul and bring you and sustain you throughout life. In faith in Jesus. Congratulations, Stone. Evan Thomas Hogan. You've chosen 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 57 to be your Bible passage. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us nor forsake us. A promise from God that he will always be with you. What a wonderful passage. Congratulations on this, your baptismal or confirmation day. Congratulations, Evan. Thank you. Zachary Kendall. You have also chosen Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, which says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And the answer is, yes, you can. And it's Christ is the one who gives us strength for all the things in life. God go with you. Congratulations. Thank you, Zachary. Jack Christopher Giroux. Giroux. Thank you. Your dad will appreciate that. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jack, may the Lord bless you all the days of your life. He is the way, he is the truth, and he really is the life. God go with you. Congratulations. I'd like to thank our confirmation teachers. And Dina, I think you're up in the upstairs in the balcony. Oh, she's in. That's even further in the balcony. But we'd like to thank our confirmation teachers, Tim and Jen Blackwood. Thank you. God be with you. You did a good job. We continue our service with the hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon each of you this day. Our text for today is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. There are pew Bibles located in front of you if you'd like to follow along. Once again, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Congratulations to our confirmands. And parents and grandparents, it was a wonderful day to see this and to have you celebrate it with us. So congratulations. You've worked hard and even came long distances to see this day happen. I remember when I was confirmed, my parents got me a recorder, a tape player, you know, a recorder. And I was all excited about it. They said, guess what we're going to do? You guys didn't have to do this. They said, we're going to tape record all the questioning to see if you got the answers right. So you were able to do that with some essays, but I think you did a wonderful job in those. So thank you, and thank you for sharing your faith with us as you publicly proclaimed it today. We're wrapping up our fourth week of stewardship messages. And what I'd like to simply say is today we're going to be talking about giving, hilariously, and we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Giving from the heart, motivated and touched by God, is our theme over these past weeks. In week one, we learned that God gave. Of course, God gave His only begotten Son, but that we found out that there were many ways in which God had given unto us, touching our daily lives. In week two, we learned how to give like the Macedonians, who were among the poorest of all the poor congregations, and yet they, out of their poverty, gave an abundance over and above what they were able, Paul said, so they might support those who were starving in Judea. Last week, Pastor Wirtz preached, and who knows went on here while I was gone. I don't know. I've heard a good few comments and good rumors, and I'm glad Pastor Wirtz was able to step in while I was celebrating my mother's 80th birthday on Mother's Day and was able to see my two sisters as they joined in on the celebrations as well. We were also able to see Desiree's sister then in Nashville as well. It's good to be back, And this, the last week, we're hitting the ground running. We're confirming. We're marrying later after today. And we're celebrating now our fourth service before the wedding this afternoon. So I do want to say God's at work doing a lot of things. And one of the things we start to see is as we look at our fourth week wrapping up here is our attitude as givers. God loves a cheerful giver. We're going to talk about four different lessons here. And in lesson one, we're going to talk about sowing. Now I say this, Paul's words, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. My mom was going to do her garden again for the next season, and I remember my dad getting the rototiller from the neighbor and even digging up more ground. And I said to my mom, "How big a garden are we going to have?" And she said, "Well, it's going to be bigger." And I said, "Well, then I'm going to have to plant more seeds. Is that right?" I was kind of trying to wimp out on her, but it didn't help. And in any case, we had more potatoes and more corn and more of everything else that was planted. And I just remember, I just said, "How big's your garden going to be?" is what she asked me. She answered me, "It's going to be bigger so that we can have more." And from that lesson, we learned today, as I ask you, how big of a garden do you want? How big of a crop do you want? Paul's words, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And of course, those who bountifully plant also bountifully reap. There's a story of a king who was going through his kingdom, and he found out that there was a community that was renowned for their wine and the wine that they could produce. And so on this anniversary of the kingdom, this community was going to be honored with the great privilege of serving the king's table with the finest wines found in the kingdom from this one community. And the community gathered and said that they would contribute all that they could, but they were going to give a sampling of that wine on this first day of the festival, and the king would be there. And so the chariots and the horses of all the royalty came in, and everybody gathered. The town was all decorated, and everybody stepped forward as family by family. They would one by one bring their offering and bring their sample of their wine from their fields to put it into the big community vat. And together then, the king would be able to sip of that fine wine, and then it would be his for the rest of the year to serve on his tables. Well, the mayor was with great glee that day standing as he welcomed the king on stage, and the king sat in one chair and the mayor in the other, and the time had come for the tasting to occur, and every family had already marched up and poured their wine into the vat, and a pot was stirred, and everybody was with great splendor looking for how the king would receive their wine. Well, the king received the golden ladle, and they poured it into a little goblet, and he drank some of the wine. And he didn't say anything. His eyes kind of got big. And then he sat down and didn't say a thing. And the mayor is wondering, what's going on? And the king just kind of like, "Go see." And so the mayor went over, and he got the same goblet, and he asked for some more wine. And so he took some more wine, and he put it up to his lips, he drank, and he spit it out. He said, "This is water. Is this what you bring to the king, is water from your vineyards?" And my friends, each family had thought what others would do was to bring the best of theirs. And they could simply step aside and only bring water. But one by one, each family had only brought water. And so that's what the king had. Jesus in the Beatitudes in Luke chapter 6 tells us to give, and it will be given unto you. They will pour it into your lap, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, and then running over. For by your standard measure, it will be given or measured to you in return. My friends, I want you to know that God went all out, sending his only son, Jesus, to live a perfect life in your place and in mine. God gave. Jesus carried the weight of your sins and mine, the world's sins, to Calvary's cross. And there God the Father took all the certificates of sin and he canceled them when he saw that the blood of his own son had been shed to pay the price for those. He in fact cast those sins in the depths of the sea so they're never again to be seen, never again to face you or me. They're paid in full by the blood of God's own son, Jesus Christ. God did not water down that sacrifice. God did not water down that payment for sin. God was not tight-fisted, was not stingy with saving you and me. In fact, he offered it to everyone in the entire world of all time if we would do but one thing: believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Lesson 2. Each one must do as he's purposed in his own heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Today there's a pledge card out there in the back. If you want to take one and fill it out, I ask that you would do so only after you have thought through in your own heart and considered all that God had done for you in your life and in your world, how you might want to respond to his love. Giving, Paul says, should be planned from the heart, given not grudgingly or under compulsion, because God loves, and here's the Greek translation, a hilarious giver. I thought about it. Maybe when we offer the offering and take the plates, maybe if you're sitting next to the person about ready to get it and they're putting theirs in, stick your finger in their ribs so they'll giggle. Would that be okay? No. I don't know. But I'm just thinking, God loves a hilarious giver, somebody that's looking forward to giving their offering to the Lord just to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all you've done. Lesson 3, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. My stewardship heart that I spoke with you on our very first week was a confession that I was not always a good giver. My heart was not right. Years ago, it was selfish. Bottom line, I did not trust God's ability or willingness to give us enough. For us to give more, consider that, or to even stretch and really tithe. Our income as a church worker, I knew, was pretty much fixed. But God, I read in 2 Corinthians, this chapter, is able to make all grace abound. And I want you to know that's what happened. We look for ways to make what God had given and provided for us to work. Not just for us to give, maybe even a 10%, which is where it's at, but to be wise stewards with the other 90%. We stopped using credit cards. We paid them off one by one, and you know the plan, smallest to the largest, and take the payments from the one that you just paid off and put it on the next one. And that snowball went into paying off all of those credit cards. And you know what we started to find as we then looked at the other debts? We tackled the van. And then we tackled other things that were on the list. And one by one, they came off the list. And one by one, we kept getting a raise, you might say. Even though we were not getting more, we were doing more with what we had. God actually gave us more to deal with on what we had in the 90% than when we took care of 100% of it. God was not finished with us then, however. I also learned that God had given us a sufficiency in everything. He had given us enough. He mentions this again in our Lord's Prayer. Every day when we pray that prayer, don't we say, give us this day our daily bread? That's what God has done. I haven't missed a day. And you might notice that. Thank you. As you and I start to look at this, we start to see that God gives us all these things purely out of his own fatherly divine goodness. He gives us not just what we need, but a bit more usually. And it's so that we'll have that abundance for every good deed, so that we can use it to bless others. To give like in a Macedonian, you might say. so that the generosity of showing our love of Christ with an attitude of gratitude is what we now have opportunity to do. As Pastor Wirtz told you last week, he said, it's better to give than to receive. You know, I've got to say that there's a secret joy about giving your grandkids or your children, wherever you're at in the age spectrum, a gift. And you see the joy that that gives them, but there's a greater joy that you have in giving it than they have in just getting it. You know what I'm saying? And I think as you and I start to see, that's how it is with us when God, our Heavenly Father, looks down upon us as His children, and He sees that He's blessed us with all these things. And then He sees us giving a bit away of it to someone else with the special time that we give, or special touch of love that we grant, or some, maybe it's some money to help them with something, or do something nice for someone. We just see the generosity of God and how He blesses us, and then the joy that we have in giving, even as He's given unto us. The fourth and final lesson. Now, He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. I could look to the confirmands and ask this question: what do you want to be when you grow up? What'd you say? A chef. Great. Thank you, Stone. I think you could probably whip up some pretty good things. I think you probably could. And so when we start to think about that, I had wanted to be a baseball player or a drummer. And so we started to think about all those other things, but God had a different plan. And it's the purpose and the plan that God has for your life that really counts. And I hope you'll hear me on that and seek out what it is that you think He wants you to do. But really, Trinity, no matter where you're at on the age spectrum of life, whether you're a member here or not, I just say, this is an opportunity for us to lean into understanding that God is the one who supplies seed to the sower. Like seed to the farmer, He will provide also seed for your harvest of righteousness, so that you can give unto others as He's given to you. So that you can help others as He's helped you. So that you can love others as He's loved you. So that you can forgive others as He's forgiven you. And guess what? Our life will start to unfold in a whole new way of how we can bless other people through a stewardship that includes generosity of life. God has changed my heart over the past years of being fearful of not having enough, of being frozen and tight-fisted, and of seeing how His grace does really abound, so that I can love others, that I can do good, and be a bit more generous in my daily life. This just simply allows me to see how much God loves me, and with a smile on my face, I can love someone else in a way that's meaningful and purposeful to them. May God bless you, Trinity. We love you, and we love having you here as our guest, those of you who are guests, and our confirmands, we love you too, and look forward to the journey we're going to be on together here as you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, and God be with you. Amen. Please stand as we now confess our faith in the Nicene Creed. I believe, Maker of heaven and earth, the only begotten Son of God, Father before all worlds, God of God, Light of lights, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. Believe in the Holy Church, acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead. Amen. Congregation may be seated. We now collect our offering. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Lord and Savior Jesus, on this Pentecost Sunday, we indeed give you thanks for sending your Holy Spirit as you promised, to lead us into all things, to declare unto this things that you have revealed unto him, and for us to be able to learn and for him to pray for us with words too deep for us to even know or understand. Oh Lord, we ask that you would send your Spirit down upon this congregation and upon our school, and that you would place wisdom in that Spirit's blessing upon our congregation, upon its leaders, upon its pastor, upon its principal, upon its teachers, and all that we do here at Trinity Lutheran Church and School would be blessed and done to your glory and in your name, Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you will be with our confirmands. We thank you for each of them, and we ask your blessing to be upon Ashley, Luke, Zane, Daniel, Brennan, Haida, Sam, Tanner, Stone, Evan, Zach, and Jack. And we ask, O Lord, that you would bless each of them and ask that your blessing would continue all the days of their life. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers that are upon the congregation's hearts and mind.
Lord, the congregation lifts up the following prayers to you. We pray that you be with the students, the family affected by the shooting in Texas this week at school. We also pray that you're with the children and the family that were affected by the school bus crash on the highway in New Jersey this past week. We pray for Israel, for strength and peace and God's blessing, that God's will be done, for healing, joy, and strength and peace. We pray continuous prayers for Quinn Kohler as he is serving our country in the Navy. We also pray that you release pain and suffering from Larry and help him regain his strength. We also pray for Timothy Eden II, celebrating his first birthday today. You're celebrating his first birthday. We also pray for Tony and Carmen. We have a third grandbaby on the way. And we pray for relief and healing for cancer patients. We also pray for continued healing and strength during a difficult time for Dr. Harry Raymond. We pray for Greg Yaman for safe travels home from when he visits his mother in New York this week. We also pray for Jonathan Yaman for guidance with his medical exam this week. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. And now we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had broken it, he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Also, he took the cup in the same manner when he had blessed it and had given thanks. He gave it unto his disciples, telling them, take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, given and shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Body of Christ, given unto death for you. The Lord Jesus bless you all the days of your life.
Take the body of Christ, given unto you.
brethren, and take and drink the true blood of Christ given for you. Now may this true body and blood and Savior strengthen and preserve in us the true faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Take and eat the true body of Christ given unto death for you. Take and drink. Take and eat the true body of Christ given unto death for you. Congratulations. Take and eat, Ashley, the true body of Christ. Congratulations. Take and eat the true body of Christ. Take and eat the true body of Christ. Hedda, take and eat the true body of Christ. Take and eat the true body of Christ. Congratulations. Take and eat the true body of Christ given unto death for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given unto death for you. Congratulations. Congratulations. Take and eat the true body of Christ given unto death for you. Congratulations, Stone. Thank you. Hallelujah. Receive now the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord Jesus lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen. Congregation can be seated. Quickly, I'd like to make some announcements. First of all, congratulations to all our confirmants. And let's do that. Also, quickly, I'd like to give you an update on our stewardship drive. As of Friday, there were just shy of $400,000 already committed. The actual number is 390, 363, with 63 pledges and more coming in. So we're very thankful that God has touched and motivated you, and we are very thankful for that. Renan? Well, he's coming up. I do want to say there will be some confirmation pictures immediately following. And so for stay right afterwards as a group, and then there may be some individual photos you would like as well. Okay, so we're going to proceed out.
Wasn't sure whether I'd have to do all of these announcements or not.
Not the last one.
No, the last one was already done before the service, if you remember. Okay, VBS coming up. I want to thank everyone who's participated so far making Summer VBS program a success. Show your support. It makes it possible to transform the campus into an island where children will take part in shipwrecked. And the VBS will learn about how Jesus is always with us, working on our behalf and rescuing us in his love. We expect about 100 children will be participating in the Bible study this summer, this coming month. Registration is open now. There's a link, and there's also, I think there might be something about it in the Tri-Union Weekly. In order to make this work, we will still need supplies and donations from adults and teen volunteers as well. The donation supply station, I believe it's still back in the narthex, where you can select to donate items that you'd like. That has nice decorated box, a little picture with the individual items. I believe you bring those back to the church office, if I'm not mistaken. Most of the volunteer positions have been filled, which is good, but we still have a few more crew leaders we need help with volunteering. If you could contact either Julia Malenke or Desiree Callison for more information. Next slide we have is join the choir for Make a Joyful Noise Sunday, when you can sing with the choir, parish choir, for one Sunday only. In my case, be thankful I'm not singing any of them right now. June 3rd, at either the 8 or the 11 a.m. service, you have two opportunities to do that. You can sign up in the Narthex or send an email to Paul Soost or Glenda Fraser and let them know that you're going to participate and choose a rehearsal time. All the details you'll need are in the Triune Weekly, which are emailed, or you can pick up a copy in the back on the way out if you are not big on computers. Come help the parish choir loft as we make a more joyful noise and serve the Lord with gladness. We had already heard before the service about Operation Barnabas, so I believe that means we can now go ahead and get to our closing hymn.
Recess. Yes. Appreciate it as well. Go in peace and serve the Lord in joy.